people.
Well, we love you and appreciate you. Glad to be in the house. Welcome everybody that's on a live cast and is going to be listening to us on various platforms. We love and appreciate you. So many great friends out there, great people in ministry that call this church their home. It seems to be increasing almost literally daily, and that's not an exaggeration. We have people contacted us and say, man, you know, you're my pastor and I love you. And I say, man, thank you. I'm humbled by that, extremely humbled by that. But also, when I hear stuff like that, it hurts my heart because you know how many churches you have to bypass to get to Livonia? You know, there's a lot of, you know, airwaves you have to churn the channel to find where we are in the back alley called YouTube. But that's indicative of where we are, that the church is really, really hungry. I'm talking about the remnant church is really hungry for truth. And so I am extremely humbled. I know exactly where I am right now in this hour, and I'm grateful, and I'm working hard to bring forth the truth of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day and this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for your presence. Lord, it lingered from Wednesday. It really has lingered every service, but Wednesday was very special. As you said, that as we pour out, that you would pour in, and that there will be a perpetual harvest for this ministry and for those connected to us, and really for anybody that is willing to give their all on this last day. And that's what we're here to do, Jesus, give you all. Father, I ask now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross so nobody would see me, but they'd only see Jesus and hear truth. And that truth, Lord, would set them free. That somebody, Father God, would hear a word in season for them. And I ask this in faith believing in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Can somebody say amen? This message that I'm going to preach this morning is going to be pretty raw. It is going to be it's going to be a plowing message, I'm sure. I'm probably going to lose some friends, some support, probably going to lose some contacts or whatever, but I really don't care because I need to say, thus saith the Lord. I need to be open and honest, first of all, with God and a clear conscience when I go to bed at night. And especially when I stand before him, you're not going to be there to block or shield. How many of y'all know you can't call a lifeline? When you're standing before the throne of God, you and you alone will have to stand before him. So I'm sure that's going to happen, and I'll get letters and all these other things. And I just wish if people were going to write bad letters, they'd learn how to spell. But usually people who write letters don't know how to spell because they don't know what they're talking about. But let me give you this message the Lord spoke to me. He said, America, your blindness has surpassed your ability to recognize the hour you're in. The twilight of your demise is here. You refuse to reason, and your plan to revolt against the truth of my word. You plan to revolt. There's a revolt going on right now in America against the word of God and against truth, and I'll show that in just a minute. He said, you will not escape the judgment of this hour. You will not be able to flee my reach and my determination to deal with a wicked and perverse nation. You hide in your controversies. But I see through your mirage of falsehoods. The sin of your past are uncovered by default. This is a plan for you to see by those who control your mind and your emotions. O land of confusion and tumult, there will be no justice for your past, but a coming retribution from the courts of your God. Lift up your eyes, my glorious church. The fields are prepared for your gleaning. Sanctify yourself as my shadow passes these fields, for soon they will be yours to reap. As the Lord spoke this to me, and I will virtually preach this entire word to you as I go along, but he spoke to me the title of this message, and he called it, The Final Deception is Here. The Final Deception is Here, and I will attempt to articulate this message under the unction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The final deception is here. I want you to turn in your Bibles, don't freak out, to the book of Jude. Yes, I do know for all my critics where the New Testament lies. It's somewhere near the maps. The book of Jude. The book of Jude. Though I may reference Jeremiah 35, if the Lord allows me, for a word that he spoke to me this week, which I had not released to the body because I wasn't instructed to, but maybe some of that today. The final deception is here. Very powerful word from the Lord. And I will back that up with reality of where we are, the current reality. The book of Jude, are you in verse 1 just yet? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. There's a whole lot I can preach on right there. But there are certain messages that only certain people can comprehend. And that is the hour that we're living in, that there is a specific message that God has been speaking to the remnant church, that the plastic, petrified church that is outside of these four walls that are gathering together right now during their time of Tupperware parties and bingo, will talk about a God they don't even know about, let alone do they worship. But Jude said, I'm speaking to a specific group of people, those that were sanctified by God the Father and that were preserved in Jesus Christ. They were called. Is that you this morning? Because it surely is me today. I've been sanctified. I've been set aside. I've been blessed by God and I've been called by him. Verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now watch what he says here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. See, Jude was going to write to those about salvation and the common life of Christianity. He was going to write to them about the basics of Christianity as an apostle would, as a father in the faith would, as somebody who loves the sheep. They would teach them in order to be trained and to be raised up. But we know that all the gospel in all of the Bible has been given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that it came upon men, holy men, to write it. So we know Jude did not have the ability to write anything on his own. So as he thought to write about common salvation, the Holy Spirit arrested him. Now watch what it says here. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you. In other words, the Holy Spirit spoke to Jude and said, Jude, I want you to put away for a moment your basics of Christianity. I want you to take away for just a moment your thought of common salvation. And I want you to write these next things because there's an urgency and an importance of what's taking place around you. And you must warn the sanctified. You must warn the called. You must warn the remnant about what is taking place around them. And so Jude, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, began to do so. And he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly, everybody say urgency. There is an urgency. With emergency and earnest and urgent, I must write to you about contending for the faith. He said, I must exhort and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Again, historically, he was going to speak and teach on the common things of Christianity. But because of the rise of false Christianity and false prophets and false teachers of its day, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to speak to them about contending for the faith. And I'm here this morning to look at everybody in the eye and those watching right now by the multiplied thousands to tell you that we're in a war today of Christianity. We're in a war for moral rights. We're in the war for righteousness. We are in a war for truth. We are in the hour where America is drowning in deception. From the White House all the way to the white picket fence church house, we are living in an hour of deception. And I have been assigned by the Holy Spirit this morning to bring to you a message of warning that you must contend for this faith that was given to us by the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that you must fight for your right to believe the truth of the Word of God, and you must push against deception, and you must turn off your television on those that are bringing you parts and pieces of truth when all along they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Jude, what a mighty epistle, not very long, but very powerful of a message from this servant of the Lord. He said, I want you to contend for the faith. I got to write to you, church. I got to say something to you because of what is taking place all around you. And that is exactly my message this morning. The very reason that God is using the Ignited Church is so that we can push back deception and speak truth. The very reason God has given me a voice and will expand this voice in 2018 is because we are speaking truth to this nation and to the nations of the world. It's not for me. It's not for self. It's not for family. It's not for fame. It's not for glory. It's not for gain. It is to warn folks of the deception that is taking place all around us. And so he says, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. I want you to have some urgency. The problem with most Christians are we don't have urgency in our lives. Let me try that again. I didn't get too many amens. We don't have urgency about our Christianity. We don't have an urgency about getting into the house of God. We don't have an urgency about praying. We don't have any expectation of God. So we live a mundane type of lifestyle. We become lethargic in our relationship with God. No wonder the world doesn't want anything to do with the church, because the church doesn't act alive, because we don't contend for our faith. We don't fight for the faith that we have today. But I'm telling you, it's coming where you're going to have to stand up like never before. And so the Lord spoke to me and said, we're drowning in deception in this nation. You don't know who to trust anymore when you turn on the television. You don't know who to trust when you read specific reports about this or that, the economy or war. You don't know who to listen to. But I'm telling you, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you have your discernment sharpened by the Word of God, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. So he says, I want you to contend for the faith. Jude, tell them. Tell them that they need to fight for the right to believe this, because there's coming a day when they are going to oppose upon you and oppose upon me what they believe as a beast system, what they believe as a universal church. And it's coming faster than you recognize and realize. In fact, you want to be here for our New Year's Eve service. You want to be here to hear the word that the Father gave me. Because I tell you, every time I go away during Yom Kippur, I can't help but preach pieces of it throughout the entire months before the new year. We are in the calendar of God, not the calendar of America. Verse 4. For there are certain men, ladies, you're in there too. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, there ain't nothing new, honey. Come on, somebody. If they had slick-haired, shiny-shoe preachers in the Old Testament, they're going to have them in the New Testament. If you had people who sold out the covenant of God and sold out the people of Israel, you're going to have them today as well. So there's nothing new. He said, ordained to this condemnation ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jude begins to bring forth reasons and indictments to where we are, not only in that hour, but in the hour of this very day. For this is prophetic in reality for where we currently reside. And he said, I want you to contend for the faith, because there's folks that are out there. There's men, there's women, there's preachers, false teachers, who are going to lead you astray. And they're going to bring you to a place where you will no longer believe the truth. It amazes me, and you know this as well, you have friends and family. It amazes me that you can show them the prophetic, not just something that a preacher said, but the prophetic word of God. And you can show them what's going on outside. You can show them in the newspaper. You can show them in the television. And they'll stand there and look right at you and deny it's even happening. It's amazing the hour that we're living in. And the reason for this is the deception that is not only upon this nation, but it's also upon our pulpits. It's upon our preachers. It's upon the television shows that are called Christian that you watch and you support, that are sending forth deception into the house of God. It's the hour that we're living in. We're living in great deception. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before old ordained to this condemnation ungodly men, read it again with me, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness. In other words, they take advantage of church folk. They take advantage of their position. They take advantage of their money. They take positions and they take possessions, and they use them and gain an advantage over people for their own selfish desires. I'm going to tell you something. That is no more true in this hour, in this day in America, than ever before. As you watch what takes place in Christianity, and as you see the filth and the greed that takes place in the house of God, it is absolutely amazing. As with Jude, I have a warning for the body of Christ, that we must get away from the deception that is being placed upon the house of God through preachers who desire to gain access to finances and gain access to the lives and the hearts and the minds of people to peddle deception. Now, this is not a commercial for Ignited Church. This is a reality of where we are, and a warning. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not worried about nickels and noses. I don't really care how many come and visit. I don't care how many show up online. I don't care about any of those things. All I care about is declaring this word and warning and believing God that you don't get caught up in the stuff that's coming down the road. You say, where are you headed with all this? Well, I'm headed to the reality of our hour of deception. In a couple days from now, on October 31st, when most people will be celebrating Halloween, you didn't catch that, Halloween, or All Politics Day. Y'all didn't catch that one either. Some of us will be celebrating the Reformation that took place over 500 years ago with Martin Luther, when he placed his 95 theses upon that Wittenberg Castle Church door in Germany. 500 years on October 31st, 1517. What an amazing event took place when this monk, this man of God, decided that he would go against that beast system of his hour, to come against that harlot church of its hour, and he would declare that the just shall live by faith. And I will be celebrating that day and thanking God for my liberation and my victory away from a paganized Babylonian system that has been designed to entrap men and women and nations and governments into its grasp, and to place upon those nations the poison of ecumenical politics. I have no desire for any economical, any type of self-righteous politics in my life. All I want to do is preach this blessed truth. All I want to do is get together with you every Wednesday and every Sunday and then just enjoy life and once in a while break some bread and win every soul we can to Jesus Christ. As you know, and I've taught this before, so this is not new to this congregation, but some of this information will be. But in 2014, there was a group of ecumenical pastors and apostolic reformation guys that got together. And they received a message from Pope Francis about the Reformation had ended. Some of y'all remember that. And Kenneth Copeland got together with these. And they celebrated and embraced the message from Pope Francis saying that we have now ended the Reformation. How many of y'all remember this? I am not one that calls names out. You know that. I only say names when they're in printed page and they have their voice underneath it and they've admitted to it. That is not my style. But I'm here to warn you and to everybody else that is following these types of ministries to be very cautious and to be mindful of the Word of God and to be like Jude and to contend for the faith that was given to you. So in 2014, there was a group of men that got together. They went to Rome and they got together with the Pope and they signed a letter of reconciliation declaring that the Reformation had ended. And if you know anything about this story, the man who brought forth this connection that is ungodly and diabolical and prophetic for the last days, his name was Bishop Tony Palmer. And if you remember the history, 6 months after bringing this together, he was killed in a motorcycle accident in the United Kingdom. I find that very interesting, to say the least. But now, just recently, Kenneth Copeland has declared that it is time that the Reformation has ended. That the Protestant Reformation has ended, and it's time for us in the church to get together with the church in Rome and to be one universal Catholic church. I'm reading to you what is available for your information as well. I have great respect for men and women of God. And I am very careful and I walk very lightly and very gently before my God when it comes to accusations. But when these are right before your eyes, somebody has to say something. Somebody has to stand up and say, we ain't going the way of Rome. We ain't going the way of your Pope. We ain't going the way of priesthood. And so he said, I'll quote, he said, the Protestant Reformation is a demon and a separating spirit of division. That's the exact quote from Kenneth Copeland. Folks, I don't know where to begin. I'm trying not to shred this newly pressed jacket. I'm ready to rip it off. Because the reality is this. That there are multiplied millions of people who are following that ministry and other ministries like it. Multiplied millions of dollars are coming into the coffers that are coming in through the front door and the back door and the side door. And they are preaching a doctrine of devils whom Jude warned us to contend for the faith. Come on, somebody. I am not against a person who is Catholic by birth or Catholic by choice that loves Jesus and is born again. There are those that are spirit-filled. I understand that. And there are a sect and a part and a separate division of the Catholic Church who fights against this current apostasy and the current black pope who sits upon the throne in Rome. I understand that. But the reality is that we cannot deny this doctrines of demons that's being placed in the airwaves and the mind thoughts and the heart patterns of American church. We are not part of the Roman church. I'm waiting for my Savior, not a Pope. I confess my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't need no man in a booth. And I don't trust no man in a robe unless his name is Jesus Christ and I can see the scars in his hands. I'm not bowing to you. The final deception is here. And I will have more to say in the coming weeks, and I have more to say during New Year's Eve. But I'm telling you, the deception, the final deception is here, to where now it is mainstream in Christianity today. Can I remind you that Kenneth Copeland is on the advisory board of President Trump? So how many more will fall along into this pattern of deception? I will never alienate somebody because of a foreign religion or a different way of Christianity. I'll do everything to show you the way I believe, especially if you're lost. But I will not alienate anybody and restrict them from conversation and the opportunity for grace. So that is not my point today, and I will be misconstrued. I understand that. But my job and my assignment is like Jude, to warn everybody listening to me to contend for the faith and fight for the right to believe the truth of the Word of God that was handed down by the apostles and handed down by the martyrs who died at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not here to bash. I could go into a long expose and a long documentary, if you will, but that is not what God told me to do today. He told me to expose this lie that is being perpetrated on the Church of Jesus Christ. Called it a demon. So I guess Martin Luther was a demon. I guess he operated in a separating, dividing, divisive spirit. Because of what he wrote and what he said, I challenge you to go read those 95 words, those 95 points. I challenge you to go back and see, and how that it brought a great movement to the freedom. In fact, without that act, you wouldn't be here right now. Without that act, I would not be sanctioned, allowed, ordained, or authorized to stand up before you and preach what I preach. I would be banded. Because of my past, I would be excommunicated. I wouldn't be a good one. First of all, I don't like wearing robes. Even at the house, I don't wear no robe. Girls wear robes. Men wear shorts at the house. Is anybody here today? I should have wore my priest collar this morning. Felt like I should, but I didn't. I didn't want to freak you out too bad. But here we are in America of 2017. The nation is going to hell in a handbasket politically, socially, educationally. Every aspect and every society of this nation has been tainted and has been soured by the filth of our flesh. And then all of a sudden we have somebody who has great power and great fame, if you will, and I say that loosely, dictating to us and the many that will follow him to embrace Rome and to embrace the policies of Catholicism and to embrace the dogmas and to embrace the doctrines of this entity. I want it to be on record that I never will. You would have to do what you would have to do, but I will never follow Rome. I will never follow the leading of a pope or a man. I will never follow an archbishop. I will never follow a nun. I will never follow any type of ecumenical system. You would have to take me out before I would ever, ever, ever consider such blasphemy towards this holy writ. Is anybody here with me today? I have to ask that question so many times. Are you with me? Because I know that these things are shell-shocking information. But it's unfortunate it has to come from the back alley of YouTube, because you can't find preachers that got a backbone to say something about it on television. And you can't find nobody to stand up in your local community and say, there ain't no way I'm going to go the way of Rome. I'll take the Romans road, but it ain't towards Rome, somebody. So in the spirit of Jude, in the spirit of urgency and a warning, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, stop your message, boy, and warn the folks of those wolves that are out there. And I am here today to do it, for the risk of being alienated and the risk of losing support, which means absolutely nothing to me. But I recognize and realize that people won't like this, but too bad, get over yourself. And so we're told now that the Protestant Reformation is over. There have been others. You need to look it up. There's others that have signed on and agree with this. They agree with this movement. And what you're going to witness is more and more that are on television will agree with this because of the fear of losing money. It's too much to go into right now. But I'm telling you, I would disconnect and churn off them pagans on television. How you like me now? Verse 5, watch this. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them because they what? Believed not. So the Holy Spirit says, Jude, I want you to warn them about these wolves in sheep's clothing. I want you to warn them because of the deception that will take place in the last days. And to warn them because destruction will come because of their unbelief. I'm telling you, the destruction that's coming to America is not because of Wino Willie that's down over by the overpass or the guy that's shooting up heroin in his arms right now. It is because of the church that has backslidden and has left the first love and has left the truth to follow these ecumenical fools to the cliff of the abyss. I mean, let this sink in your mind for a minute. Let this sink into your mind that a charismatic Pentecostal leader would even suggest that we would bow the knee to Rome, that would even suggest that we would believe in the pagan practices that they practice. I'm going to tell you something. It's like night and day. There's a separation between light and dark. I don't worship saints. I don't kiss crosses. Come on, somebody. I don't sprinkle with water. I'm going to dunk you. You're going down. You get baptized here. All I want to see is bubbles. Bubbles is good. Then you come up. We ain't burning incense in the house and burn the building down. Come on, somebody. Last time I burned incense is when I used to burn other stuff. I ain't had no incense in my house ever since. You ain't tripping me back. I'm not going to put myself in a position to where I am at opposition with God in order to try to win more people to my side and to get more friends and to get more funds. Because I'm telling you, this gospel is a divisive gospel. It will divide homes. It'll divide marriages. It'll divide families. It'll divide cities, states, and nations. It will divide you. The truth will offend you. And I am not going to subjugate myself to some type of beast system that the Bible specifically says that there will be a one world religion and there will be a one church that will be at the helm of it. And we know exactly who and what church that is. And I'm going to join it. I'm doing everything to preach against it. I'm doing everything to push back the floodwaters. I'm doing everything I can to pull people out of that craziness. You want me to join? I'm sorry. I cannot be bought and I cannot be sold. Is anybody here today? It's insanity. Some of the greatest history of pedophilia comes from the Catholic Church. That's in documentation. That's fact. And every church has its problem. Every institution has its problem of pedophilia. But there's never been on record a greater case than the Catholic Church. There's a scandal always going on about it, isn't it? But we won't talk about it because we're afraid. No, let's talk about truth, because that's what I'm all about, is truth. And how there will be multiplied millions that will buy into this doctrines of devils just astounds me. But if I can do something to knock off a few percentage that are going that way, that's exactly what we'll do here from the Ignited Church. Just recently it was revealed from the Vatican that they believe that aliens will come and they will evangelize the nations of the world. Out of Pope Francis' own mouth, he said that they will end up baptizing us. See, I don't have time to go through all this, Brother Mike, but it's all out there if you'll spend some time reviewing and researching instead of playing on the internet and on Facebook. And quit listening to what everybody else says and go research it yourself. Amen. Because people who are hearing this for the first time are like a calf staring at a new gate. They don't know if they should go in or go out. And they just moo. But I'll take the first shot for you. But you need to research this. Now, I put all this in a light, humorous way for a moment because I'm fixing to slap you upside your head with truth. But you hear this and you hear this craziness and it's coming out of mainline charismatic Pentecostal leader. And it will come out of more, and it already has. And it is going to be a movement to stifle and to silence the remnant church. You watch. Because what I'm saying today is renegade. What I'm saying today is rebellious. What I'm saying today is against status quo and PC. No, what I'm telling you is the truth that they spoke, but they don't want you to hear it. And they don't like to hear it when it comes through the form of being castigated and rebuked. No, the Lord rebukes you because the Bible tells the truth. And how people will have the mindset to embrace such a thing. First of all, no little green man is going to touch me. It ain't happening. Whether I have a lightsaber or a laser beam or just a flashlight, you ain't touching me, dude. Because everything outside of this universe is demonic power anyways. There's no such thing as alien power. We have been deceived and bewitched in our country to believe that little green men hang out and eat cheese on the moon. They're demon powers. The angel of light, Satan himself, deceiving the nations of the world. And now you want me to join one of the biggest deceivers that are out there? You're insane. You're insane. Let me move on, because I could spend an hour or two on this particular subject. Verse 5, let's look at it again. It's worth it all. I will therefore put you in remembrance. He said, let me remind you. Let me remind you, church. Jude says, let me remind you of Numbers 14. When the children of Israel disobeyed. And he says, guess what? God says, guess what? Your carcasses are going to fall out in the wilderness. And they did. See, Jude, the book of Jude, I want you to write this down somewhere in your notes. And those watching today, I want you to write this down in your notes. The book of Jude is a book of war. It's a rallying call for war. It's a rallying call for the soldiers of Christ, for the army of God, for those that are truth speakers and seekers, to declare to the Spirit, remember what happened in Numbers chapter 14. Remember what happened. Watch this. Though you know this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. You see, that's indicative of America today. We get delivered of our sins. We get delivered of false doctrines. Then all of a sudden, a puppet stands up and we become mesmerized and watch the strings move. And then we leave our first love and the first doctrines of stable truth and we follow after another doctrine. And he said in verse 4 that they deny the Lord Jesus Christ being only. You see, that's what's happening today. We have all kinds of new ageism that's taking place inside the church that tells us there's multiple ways to God. There's multiple ways of salvation. There's multiple ways to redemption. Honey, my Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, and he rose from the dead on the third day, and he's seated on the heavenly side of God, on the right side of God. And he and him alone is my salvation secured. I'm sorry, Mary won't get you to heaven, Jack. See? You make understanding of it and you shine a light on it and you can see how ridiculous this is. I am not worshiping Mary. I'm not paying for somebody to get out of purgatory. Purgatory is marriage anyways. Well, you're halfway to heaven and halfway to hell. I mean, oh boy, I'm going to get some letters on that one. I don't care. I don't care. Because people will write me over something I'll say and totally bypass the total topic of what was said and miss it by 1,000 miles. That's why I say it. But I'm not going to pray for somebody in purgatory because there is no such place as purgatory. That's why we have a Protestant Reformation. That's why we're protesting. We protested this craziness. And we're going to go back to the vomit? Not I. I hope you don't. I hope you keep your heart clean. Verse 6. Some of y'all still thinking about purgatory. What I said about Mary. Y'all know it's true. Somebody said, I've been there, done that. Didn't take a pope to get you out, took a judge. I can't believe it. I wish I could just hear you all live stream. They typed to me LOL and all kinds of stuff. Just wish we could talk. And the angels, now watch this. This is an indictment. This is Jude by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit showing us and them the progress of destruction and the issue of why they were punished. And the angels which kept not their first state, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So the first sin was what? Unbelief. If you're taking notes, unbelief was number one when he dealt with Israel. What he's dealing with the Church of America right now is unbelief. We can't find preachers who preach about the blood of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth and believe in the power of the resurrection. There are preachers who actually preach it didn't happen that way. And you would be surprised who they are. There's preachers who preach that you can take the mark of the beast and still make heaven. And they're preaching unbelief. Unbelief is not somebody putting their fist towards God and saying, I don't believe you. Unbelief can be somebody who knows the truth but denies it because of their fleshly sexual desires and all the greed they got going on, that they deny the truth to appease everybody else. I will never appease a group of people or a generation of people. I will tell you the truth. So help me, Father. So number two, he brings out, and I'm not going to go into the Nephilim and the fall of Genesis 6, but the point is this, that you'll miss it if you don't get this. The second point Jude was told to tell that church, that generation, and now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this generation is, number two, rebellion. The angels left their estate. They rebelled against the plan and the purpose of God. I'm telling you, what Kenneth Copeland and others are putting together and a false ecumenical move and a false unity move towards Rome is rebellion. It is rebellion against the Word of God. It's rebellion against truth. The Bible declares that we should live our lives as an open epistle. We should live our lives in complete honesty. You should be able to look at a man of God as you look at the Word of God. Try going into the Catholic Church in Rome and taking a little tour down the catacombs. Why don't you try to go look into some doctrines and all kinds of documentation over the years? You ain't going to get past the Swiss guards. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Swiss guard. Live your life as a living epistle, open for all men, an open book. God is against secret societies, including the Masons. I might as well just hit everybody while I'm here. The truth of the matter, most people don't understand these secret societies because you're only in the introductory tricycle level. If you study and understand past the 32nd and 33rd degree of Freemasonry, you'll understand that Satan is their God. We don't want to talk about it because they do good things. Well, so does Islam. See, I'm just going to just, Elder, you just, either it's just me and you when this is all over, but we'll just start again. This is exactly the insanity that we take in as guppies, we take in as Christians, because we see them on television and we see all these things and we say, my God, they must be truth. Honey, there are so many great little backstreet preachers who are preaching their heart out all across America and around the world that have more truth in their finger than most of these ministries today. They haven't sold out to God. I lost some of y'all right now, but that's all right. I already got your offer. Let's go. So the second thing, it wasn't very much, but I told you I'll make somebody mad today. The second thing was rebellion. That's exactly what we're dealing with. We're rebellion against the will of God. God says in the last days that these things would take place. We'd have teachers that would rise up, leading astray the flock of God. There would be an ecumenical movement towards a one world religion with a one world church with a false prophet who led them, who gave life to the beast and all those different things. But yet we watch this taking place in front of us, and again, there will be multiplied millions of people who will embrace it as truth because of who's promoting it. Just like a lot of people are doing today over this political circus we got going on in our country. Oh, I feel good. I can do this for hours. Y'all all right? Watch this, verse 8. Now go to verse 7. You ain't going to get ahead of that fast. Even as Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities about them. Don't hear too much about the cities around them, do you? That's the plain of Sodom. So you, in other words, you better be careful where you hang out. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. We got a lot of strange flesh in the church. We got a lot of strange flesh in the pulpit. We got a lot of strange flesh doctrine being preached that homosexuality and lesbianism is okay. It's accepted and it's all right. And it's just a wiring issue when you were born. No, honey, it's a devil. And it is a choice lifestyle. It is a choice lifestyle. You chose it. Watch this. Given over to fornication, over strange flesh, and are set forth an example, suffering what? The vengeance of eternal fire. So, number three is unholy. First of all, was unbelief. Second, rebellion. Third is unholy. Unholy lifestyle. I don't have time to go through all the homosexuality that is involved in the priesthood today. It far outnumbers that which was going on with clergies. But the reality is still there. And so God says through Jude, he says, I want you to warn them about this unbelief and this rebellion and this unholy living that is coming from teachers and preachers now. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers. Dreamers represents teachers. If you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about the vision casters, the dreamers, the teachers, the ones that show forth vision. It's filthy. You would be hard-pressed to turn on your Christian television today and hear a message about sin and repentance and the blood of Jesus. It's the truth. You'll turn it on and you'll hear about how to get five different ways to be wealthy. Buy my DVD and be Stunning Steve just like me. Where the pastor looks like Ken and she looks like Barbie. I'm sorry, you're stuck with Elmer Fudd. You didn't have to laugh so heartily at that. But I could take a good punch. But you know it's the truth. You watch the commercials and the infomercials. It acts like they never had a problem in their life. You would think they never had an argument. You would never think they had any kind of spat, no kind of problem in the church. Everything's just beautiful. Man, $20 and I can get that? No, it don't work that way, honey. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Talking about walking in rebellion, talking about walking after the flesh. Right now we have filthy dreamers in our country. We have people that are leading us astray. They're putting deception before us. They're putting all kinds of issues. And it's not just preachers. It's so-called Christian politicians and people in high-powered places that are bringing us to a place called war. Right now, they just let out the documents about John F. Kennedy, and everybody's going crazy about it, and everybody's got their eyes glued to the internet and the television and researching and trying to figure the whole thing out. I'm telling you, it is a rouge, and it is an appeasement, and it is a distraction to America. Because the information that we're receiving is so very little. And what information we do receive that is new, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to exhume the bodies and put the skeletons on the courtroom stand? Is anybody here with me? Oh, it exposes our government for being corrupt. Didn't see that one coming. That's a shocking revelation. I wish I had a friend in this house. Because this is the reality of what's going on in America, and we're scooping it up like ice cream. And we're saying, oh man, what a president, what an hour, what a day of revelation. Yeah, it is exposure, but that exposure is not going to bring any change to this nation. It is only going to bring us to more controversy and more and more and more deception. When I saw it come out, I was like, you know what I'd like to see is Benghazi report. That's what I want to see. I want to see what happened to Benghazi. I want to see Crooked Hillary put in a jail cell. I want to see Obama frog march into jail. And all the other dude and dudettes down the road. I'll tell you what the Lord told me when it came out. He said it was aggravated distraction. That's what he told me. Aggravated distraction. It's just stuff to make you aggravated and distract you, and it is fuel for the coming civil war. Yes, it is. Because you can't do anything else now. You can't do anything legally. All it can do is stir you up to anger. We already know who did it. Come on, somebody. I didn't really care who shot JR. And some of y'all millennials are going to have to Google JR. JR Ewing, Dallas. Is that how you pronounce his name? That's just an old TV program. Dallas. What happened in Dallas? Did you hear what happened in Dallas? How many of y'all stuck to the TV channel watching Dallas to find out who shot JR? I did. I wasn't saved. I was like, who shot that dude? He was a bad shot, but he got him. Everybody was guilty in that whole program, wasn't it? By the time you get down to the bottom, you're like, oh, really? But see, it's the same mesmerization. It's the same distraction. Everybody's glued to the television. Everybody's glued to trying to find out the end result of what we already knew. We know this government's corrupt. We know that they were corrupt back then. We know he was killed because of the gold standard. We know he was killed because of Vietnam. We know all these things. And it goes even deeper than that. But we're mesmerized. And all of this is taking place because we're marching into war. We're marching into war with North Korea, with China, with Russia, with Iran. We're already doing what we're doing in Syria. There are so many conflicts that are going on that there are politicians that don't know them all by name. And if you've had your head in the sand the past couple weeks into past couple months, we are going into all kinds of places throughout Africa to block the Chinese and the Russian. But you're going to worry about JFK. I'm sorry what happened, but he gone. And it ain't going to change and bring nobody to justice. Let me go on. Are you still in verse? Let's just go to verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now watch this. He said, they've gone the way of Cain. What happened to Cain? Cain was cursed. Genesis chapter 4, is that right? Balaam was found among the dead enemies of God, Numbers 22 through 24. And then we know that Korah, what happened with him? The whole earth opened up and he was swallowed up, him and his crew. Numbers chapter 16. So again, Jude is showing us that in the last days there would be false teachers that would arise and pull you away from the truth. He said, contend for the truth. But as a way of punishment and judgment, God said, this is what I'm going to do. In the same like manner, because of their unbelief and rebellion and their unholy ways, I will deal with them just like I dealt with Cain, Balaam, and Korah. But all across America, we're going to sing Kumbaya, my Lord, and everything's fine. When God says, I'm going to deal with the wickedness of false teachers. America is in the condition that it's in because of preachers. Not politicians, preachers. The church house used to be the most strongest entity, where no man ran for office unless you came through the house of God. Today, the church just wants a photo op and an opportunity to shake hands and get in the Oval Office. That's why they never invite me. I don't understand why. I would be very kind until they ask me something. I'm not mean by nature. But you want to ask my opinion, you might as well just get ready. Let's go. Verse 12, I'm out. These are spots in your feast of charity. Where are these guys at? They in your churches. Where are these guys in the shenanigans? They the ones you watching on television and your family sowing seeds to get that DVD that don't do you no good when you could have read the Bible for it. But the word spots there is confusing to many because you don't study. But in the Greek, it means like a hidden rock. The analogy is a reef. And anybody that's ever gone boating before, especially in Hartwell, when you don't know it's fixing to go from 6 foot to about 2 inches, ain't that right? Until you go, whoa! Until you fly and eat the dashboard of your boat. But this is what it means. These are reefs that you can't see. They're hidden rocks, not spots that everybody can see on your shirt. It's hidden rocks. These guys that are out there, these gals that are out there, they're preaching and they're teaching deception, and you don't even know it because you don't study the Bible for yourself. You just look at the glitter. There are people who go to mega churches because of the size of the building. And they just want to fit in with the multiplied thousands instead of studying and finding out what they believe and they preach and teach. I know it. I used to do it myself. So he said, these are spots, these are rocks, these are hidden rocks in your feast of charity. And when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They ain't got no fear because everybody loves them. They don't have any fear because everybody accepts them. They don't have any fear because Bishop so-and-so laid hands upon them. And everybody says, well, if Bishop so-and-so laid hands on them, they got to be good folk. I've had plenty of bishops and people lay hands on me. It didn't do me any good. Watch this. I'm getting out of your way. I can tell your fangs are hanging out of your mouth. Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds ain't got no water. Clouds with no water. How many of y'all love to be in a drought and see clouds and there ain't no rain? He said trees with fruit which withereth without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the seas, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars. Talking about shooting stars. You know what a star is? A shooting star is nothing but a self-illuminated ball of gas. You'll catch that on the way home. Don't ever be a star. Because that's exactly what they want to be. Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be on reality TV. Everybody wants to be seen. But watch this. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You'll get your opportunity to shine, and then you'll get your day for darkness. Verse 17. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to close with this last bit. I'm going to try to make you happy on your way out the door. Is that okay? I know it's a heavy message, but I'm going to tell you the final deception is here. Verse 17, but beloved, remember the words were spoken before you of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I speak that to you this morning, those that are listening. Remember the words. Embrace the words that were given to us through the Word of God. How that you were told there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own lust, ungodly lust. We were warned men would do this. Why would anybody want to change course from this blessed truth and follow some doctrine of devil? It has to be money involved. There's got to be some type of new audience. There's got to be some type of gain in this to follow after this dogma. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves central, having not the Spirit. Verse 20, but Benjamin, oh, you didn't write that in your Bible. I put my name right there. But Benjamin, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What should I be doing? I should be building up my holy faith. I should be building up my faith in the Word of God. I should be building up my faith in the Spirit of God. I should be building up my faith by being in service and listening and receiving teaching and instruction and having a shepherd who cares and loves you and is willing to beat off the wolves. Building yourselves up. Not spending hours on YouTube watching all kinds of fruits, flakes, and nuts out there. Or watching those on Christian television who are robbing you. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep means to guard. Guard yourself with the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Watch this. And some have compassion making a difference. I love this because Jude is bringing it to a close before we head into the book of Revelation. And he's saying to us to watch out for these, contend for the faith. And as you do this, as you mark these false teachers, get along and get together and join and be a part of having compassion towards those that are lost, making a difference. That's what I want to do here at Ignited. I want to have compassion, and I want to make a difference in the lives of people. In verse 23, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garments spotted by the flesh. That's what I want to be around. I want to be around a bunch of hell fighters. I want to be around a bunch of people that are willing to go into the fiery parts of hell and the fiery parts of our community, having compassion and believing God for their salvation instead of building some great giant Ephesus and great giant building somewhere on the far side of town. Most churches that started out, they started on the other side of the railroad tracks. Then they got big. Then they got fancy, and then they moved to the upper side of town. That's a fact. I've been to all them big church growth seminars. I know what I'm talking about. I'm glad we're right by a railroad track, and we're on this side of town. Aren't you glad God put us right here? I was thinking over there. God said, no, right here. Let me get out of here. Watch this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God is going to keep us as a church. I'm talking the body of Christ, the remnant. He's going to keep us for this final harvest. But we have to keep ourselves in his truth. Don't let no man deceive you. More deceptions coming down the road. More names are going to gather up in this ecumenical deception. And there will be crazier things down the road. But let's stick with Christ and his truth. Heavenly Father, I love you today. Thank you for allowing me to deliver your message to the body of Christ. Take these smooth stones, Father. Send them wherever you want them to go. And let them hit the heart of the hearer with truth so they're not deceived in this last day. Father, help Ignited to continue to declare that Jesus is Lord. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. I'll see you Sunday or Wednesday. I love you.